Radio, a constantly changing art form. London.
The two-hour ultimatum had been delivered to Germany.
Rock and roll.
Great ball to fight.
Prairie Home Companion.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
From that first broadcast, a medium that has been pruned, honed, trimmed, winnowed, chiseled, bonsaied, and deposited here today, ready to be moistened with the watering can of evolutionary dew, this is the Dennis Miller Show.
Hey, folks, ABC, always be closing if you want the knife set. Welcome to the Dennis Miller Show. I am the aforementioned Mr. Miller. We'll get to our guests for the hour in a second, but I'm watching this come across the transom. It's interesting, sorry. Federal judge ruled Thursday that a lawsuit by 20 states seeking to avoid the Obama administration's health care overhaul can, in fact, go to trial. Good. Good victory for Billy McCollum and his people. I think he's honchoing that effort over there. Says he wants to hear additional arguments from both sides over whether or not the law is constitutional. You get the feeling this is one of those stories we'll all look back on 10 years from now and think, hey, whatever happened to that lawsuit that was supposed to stop Obamacare, but then just dismiss the idea as we go back to pooling the rickshaw for our Chinese leaders? That's the job I'm vying for when the takeover comes. I like that. I need to get in shape. And the thing about working the rickshaw for the Asians is you never get the toadish Asian. They're always relatively svelte.
No, indeed. And indeed, that hinders them in certain areas. But, you know,
you never get the fat Asian guy. What is that about? Well, why don't the soba noodles stick? We'll ask our guest. Carl's on. Carl's thinking, can I not be here? The entire hour, Dennis X Machina, play the production piece.
Dennis X Machina. Call Dennis now.
And Carl.
Ask him anything about anything.
And Carl.
He'll do his best to answer. Retirement funding, personal relationships, recipes, anything about anything. This is Dennis
and Carl.
X Machina.
So I slid that in there. We're joined for the entire hour by the leggy Jan Carl from Entertainment Tonight. Oh, no, this is comedian Carl's on. Carl, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Dennis.
Nice to have you, my friend. We appreciate you coming down from England. Carl, a fine comedian in his own right, is appearing October 22nd and 23rd at Biagio's in, I can never say this, is it Worcester?
Worcester.
Biagio's in Worcester. Imagine that. I can say Biagio's and I can't get Worcester together. And Friday and Saturday, the 29th and the 30th, at the Comedy Involved, the Comedy Vault in Boston, Mass. Carl, what's up? These are local gigs. I have been on the road myself lately, and can I tell you, be glad they're local, my friend, because I've been winging my way across America, and the old gray mare of air travel ain't what she used to be, is it, my friend?
I noticed that you've been all over the country, and I heard you talking about Delta last week. It's just amazing to me what's happening with the airlines. I love, remember like 60, 70, just a scant 60 or 70 years ago, they first started flying passengers on the Ford Tri-Motor. And kids would be coming running up and going, Mom, Dad, there's a bathroom on the airplane and it works. And it's kind of nice that we've come full circle to actually being surprised by that again, right?
The bathroom.
Yeah, Mom, Dad, there's a bathroom on the plane that works.
And I don't know. They're going to start selling. You have to buy a token to get into the bathroom on certain things. That's
kidding?
What I've heard.
It just is astonishing. And did you see these new airline seats they're proposing a couple of weeks ago?
No, tell me.
I saw this on the news a couple of weeks ago. Astonishing. These things must be made of carbon fiber because they're about as thick as cardboard. And you don't sit. You kind of lean back into it, mm-hmm. like half sitting and half standing.
I have seen that.
How about a bucket of Vaseline and a broom handle and you just line us up like human candy apples?
Yeah.
You know?
Give me a hockey mask, and I'll fly in what's the guy's name from Silence of the Lambs? Remember?
Hannibal Lecter. Yeah.
The Hannibal Lecter
section. Maybe take out the overhead bins and just put in meat hooks. You know, 8 words I never thought I'd hear myself say. How much extra to ride on the wing?
You're in the meat hook section, hanging next to all the guys from the Lufthansa heist. Yeah, De Niro got freaked
out. I think it's official.
It.
The passengers are an inconvenience.
Yes,
we finally have got the hint.
All right. Carl's with us for the entire hour. We'll take your phone call at 866-509-RAT, 866-509-7268. And we started off touching Indians with Scott in Long Island. Scotty, what gives?
Hey, fellas, how are you? I got a movie recommendation. It's a real great sleeper movie. It's called Assassination of a High School President with Bruce Willis.
Wow, I have never heard of
it. Yeah, it came out a few years ago. He plays a salty Gulf War veteran who's now the principal of a Catholic high school out of control. And it's like a John Hughes Coen Brothers film noir. It is just great.
I can't believe this. Did this have a commercial release? Because I'm pretty good on films.
I don't know if it had a commercial release, but it really delivers. There's this one scene where the two delinquents, you know, teach the kid who's kind of a geek the social dangers of dancing close to a beautiful woman in public. It's looming.
Well, I like it when Willis goes off the grid a little in between the action epics, so I'll give it a tumble. Thanks for the recommendation, Scott, out there in Long Island.
I think I know why you never heard of it. First name in the credits, Misha Barton.
Oh. Wow, Willis bringing up and a supporting role in a Misha Barton show? That might be a little too humble. I'll have to give it a tumble, though. But, you know, this is an anomalous situation to me. And I've met Carl's son. My one son, is this when things become too old? It used to be my son would not watch black and white films. Now I notice that certain era films, my younger son says, I don't know, could that be good? I can't get him to watch Die Hard. What should I convince him? Because I say to him, Marlon, if you watch Die Hard, it'll become your favorite film ever. But somehow he bridles. He thinks it's too old, it's too long ago, and it might be square. But that's an anomaly, because those Die Hard films, especially the first two, as long a home run as you can make. Scott in Indiana. Scotty, you're on.
Thanks, Dennis. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, dovetailing a bit with your Chris Matthews discussion a little bit ago, I saw this other quote that he, I don't know if it was last night, but he said his problem with Cheney is that he needs to apologize for the 64,000 people killed in Iraq. And I find that so interesting that when defenders of this administration want to talk about economic policy, they constantly want to chastise us and say that, well, we need to compare this timeline to the alternative timeline. So, yes, this timeline's not great, but it's better than what it would have been.
Yes.
Sort of the Star Trek alternative timeline scenario. But when it comes to Iraq, we're never permitted that. This timeline sucks, and this timeline sucks because the GOP made this timeline suck as it relates to Iraq. And it's never, well, gee, if we hadn't done this, Saddam Hussein would still be there.
Right.
Today we would be watching an arms race between Iran and Iraq toward an A-bomb, and how would we begin to pick sides in that sort of a situation? So I find it interesting that we want to employ the alternative timeline argument in one scenario and not in another.
That is one smart call, Scotty. We appreciate it, and you have beamed up there. That's a great perception, a great pop culture dovetail with it, but most importantly, it is true that they... On the one hand, they use a fireman's carry of excuses from the Bush administration vis-a-vis the economy. On the other hand, when you talk about the security of the world, I don't know, Carl, is anybody served if Saddam Hussein's still honchoing it over there? They never concede that point.
No, they don't. It's just unbelievable. We've just become a nation of armchair quarterbacks suffering from OCD, overcomplication disorder. We just overanalyze everything, man. Even something like the mosque. And the thing with O'Reilly on The View the other... I mean, come on.
You're right. The minutiae that we obsess on now.
It's just bad manners. We can't all agree on that, even.
I know.
It's astonishing, man.
Van Leeuwenhoek didn't put this tiny organism under a microscope, as we do on a day-to-day basis in the 24/7 news cycle.
Not kidding.
Greg in New York. Greg, you're on with Carl Zahn, Dennis Miller. Hey, let me tell you this. The best part of your week just got better. Welcome to the Wall Street Journal Weekend. Four sections of ideas and information. Forget the Times. The Times is the auto trader meets Pravda now. Go to the WSJ Weekend Edition, available at newsstands every Saturday. Once again, Greg in New York. Greg, what's up?
Dennis, how you doing? Sounds good. You're definitely the most intelligent comic I've ever heard, and you're vastly entertaining, and it's great listening to you.
Even after that response, his hello.
That and a bucket of quarter doesn't even get you a cup of Joe anymore. What's up, baby? Thanks for the compliment.
Well, you talk about ask Dennis anything, so I thought I'd throw this one for you. What's your favorite heavy metal band?
Sousa. Those tubas were heavy. The marching band under Sousa, my favorite heavy metal. Thank you, Greg in New York. Hey, I think I have an ad for Sarah Palin. Nobody listens to me over there. I could be the Don Draper of the Republican Party if they just listen to some of my ad ideas. What do you think of this one? You just take a full-page New York Times thing out. Well, maybe the Times doesn't work. Maybe the Wall Street Journal Weekend works. But you put down the top 10 names who have deemed Sarah Palin unqualified. And it's, you know who it's going to be. It's going to be Matthews and Olby. And it's just, it's going to resonate who the 10 are and how agenda-driven they are and how crazy they've been driven by this woman. Take that on the inside of the Wall Street Journal Weekend on the one side. Put the list of 10 to 20 names. If you have 20, fill it out. And then at the bottom of that page, these people say Sarah Palin unqualified to be president. And then at the top of the page, second page in the fold, put convinced, ? And then at the bottom of the page, no, me neither, or something like us neither. And just because I think her detractors could be what get her back into the game, Carl. I mean, you can judge a person by some of the people who hate them, right?
Oh, I agree, and I think that's how it should get out in the ad campaigns, even that Christine O'Donnell, and we're kind of simpatico, and she's not my cup of tea. But on the other hand, I thought the witch ad, they should have had Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion. They should have had a bucket of water come from off stage and then panned over to them and go, she's not a witch. She didn't melt. I mean, come on. Have some fun with it.
I know. It got a little too sing-songy up front. I'm telling you, that piano killed her. It was like a Massengale ad. All right. It was the scene before Bambi's mother getting shot or something like that. That's what the music reminded me of. 866-509-RANT. 866-509-7268 is our phone number. We're going to do an Ex Machina. Anything you want to talk about for the entire hour. I'm joined by my delightful aide-de-camp in the sidecar here, Carl Zahn, who makes this so much easier. We appreciate him coming down. You can see Carl in person Friday, October 22nd, and Saturday the 23rd at Biagio's in Worcester. Now I'm oversaying it, Massachusetts.
Worcester.
I'll let Carl say it from here on in. I'll do the beginning of it.
That's
Friday, Saturday, 29th and 30th at the Comedy Vault in Burston. Oh, that's Boston. Boston, Mass. Back with your calls. Dennis Ex Machina right after this. Dennis Miller Show. Pelosi, the Edgar Winter Band. Woo! That's Marilyn Monroe's skirt getting blown up. Woo! Welcome back to the Dennis Miller Show. It's the Dennis Miller Carl Zahn Show this entire hour. Zahn joins us for a rambunctious episode of Dennis Ex Machina, Obama, showing his chops at a town hall meeting for MTV yesterday. Tough room. They have a good relationship at the Obama White House with the cable channel. You know, he's been on there a lot of times since 2008, and Biden's had his own show, Jackass, over there for over a decade now. Let's go to Karen in Chicago. Karen, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, thanks. How are you? I'm actually calling because I was inspired by your dinner at some place in New York.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the best restaurant in the world right now is Alinea in your hometown of Chicago. But what's happening in New York?
Oh, okay. Well, I was just calling because you were talking about the combination between the cheeseburger and the shake, the marshmallow shake.
Yeah, sublime.
It inspired me. I've been thinking about this, my own soup, because of your soup portion. And it would be pizza powder soup, but you'd wash it down with small G God-flavored soda. And it was just, I just thought it was, it was a good combination of, it just kind of reminded me of listening to a lot of the media today.
Well, because
it's about that nourishing and delicious.
All right. Well, Karen, I like that idea, and we appreciate you calling in with it. Thank you, Karen.
Did she say God?
Yeah, lowercase G God soup.
Oh, I see.
MSG God soup. And I had her esteem in my hands at that second, and I decided to be a benevolent despot because I felt like I didn't understand the joke, and she seemed like she'd really put some thought into it. But it was sweet of you to call in, but I missed it.
I would be uncomfortable knowing the flavor of God.
What about this?
It's closer than I want to guess.
Cheeseburger-flavored shake. You put them all together, and you make a cheeseburger-flavored milkshake. I guess that's how Keir DeLay and Gary Lockwood ate in 2001, the original one. Let's go to Rich in New Hampshire. Ricardo, what's shaking? You're on with Carl Zahn.
Hey, Dennis. Hey, Carl. How's it going?
Beautiful, baby. Just glad to be alive.
I know that voice.
Who is this?
Yeah, this is my good friend Rick Dumont, independent filmmaker up there in New Hampshire. How you doing, buddy?
Very good, very good. How's it going down there in NYC?
It's going great, man. How could it not be bad? I'm sitting here with Dennis Miller.
Hey, Dooms, what are you working on? You're an independent filmmaker. What do you got?
I have a film out now called Brothers in Communion. It's a tale of a couple brothers from the East Coast who reconnect out west in San Fran and kind of spiral the dream of life under the guise of mental illness and drug abuse in San Fran.
Where can people find out about it?
We have a website called SweatyTurtle.com.
Sweaty Turtle. Rick, you gotta tell them the origin of Sweaty Turtle, buddy.
Yeah, where'd you come up with Sweaty Turtle? That's hilarious.
It's a little thing that my wife and I came up with.
I'm sure.
Her that she was my sweet eternal one time, and she heard Sweaty Turtle.
Well, you know, on your honeymoon, you couldn't get either of you off your back. Hey, I'm here all week. All right, Ricardo, thanks for calling in, baby. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Cynthia in Spokane. Cynthia.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, hi. Cynthia, what's shaking?
Oh, I'm just wondering, I know you've given up on Survivor, but if you watched the last episode, the annoying African-American woman, she got switched to the other group, and she was on the rainy team where their location is, and it's amazing. A little rain kind of squashed her attitude, so now she's pretty docile.
Well, you know, I'm just done. It came down. It's been eating at me for the last few seasons that a lot of people that I deem inadequate and wanting and not the best player have won. So I don't have any. I'm glad to hear you're still watching. I've enjoyed it for a long time. I thought Mark Burnett had a genius idea there. But as is often the case in life, the curtain just came down on me. We're in the space of a millisecond. It's over. And no, I'm not going to watch anymore. But thanks, Cynthia in Spokane. Let's go to Paul in Kentucky. Paul, how are you? Paul, I got around 30 seconds. You want to wait till the other side of this, or you got something to jabber about real quickly?
I better wait.
All right, we'll wait till the other side. Paul has emeritus status here at the Dennis Mill. Well, not emeritus, that means retired. He's an active player, but he has our 4-star rating here as a caller, so we don't want to do him short shrift. All right, it's an X-Mac an hour, 866-509-RAMP, 866-509-7268. We're joined for the entire hour by our good friend Carl Zahn. Take your phone calls about absolutely anything right after this on the Dennis Miller Show.
The Dennis Miller Show. This is Dennis Ex Machina. Call Dennis at 866-509-RAND.
Best concert film ever.
And ask anything about anything.
What a demented genius. Rank it. I'm about right after I saw Werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, his hair was perfect. I think the funniest line in a contemporary rock song has to be, "Changed my hairstyle so many times now, don't even know who I am." Oh, the Ballad of Katie Couric. Back on the Dennis Miller Show, 866-509-RANT, 866-509-7268. Joined by our friend Carl Zahn, and we left Paul in Kentucky, our good friend, hanging before the break. Paul, what's up?
Well, I was sitting here, Dennis, and listening to you guys talk, and hey, Carl, how you doing there?
How you doing, buddy?
I was thinking what would be a great idea would be like a Comedians of Dennis Miller show or tour, and you guys could hit some of these major affiliates like Chicago and I think Houston.
Well, I'd be proud to tour with Carl and Nick, but you know, there's something about getting into comedy that you get into it because you're a Marlboro man in a weird way. I don't know, you know, it doesn't. It's I love being with my fellow comedians, and you know, I love having Carl on here. I love having Nick on here. They're all welcome at any given moment. But it never felt like a collective thing to me, though. It feels like Gunslingers. I always dug that lone aspect of it. I go on the road. I don't have anybody with me who books it or anything. I always dug the Red Adair thing about where you get a head drop.
I almost hate to admit that that's one of the things I love about comedy is the long drives by myself. And it is it's a solitary thing, man.
Those drives is where I write my act or when I kick myself about that. And then I go, what's the tweak? And you know, I was doing a Stones joke earlier this week, and I had a long drive the other night out to this casino up in Foxwoods. I had an airplane flight, and I was just going over the joke. The joke was, you know, I had a closing. The Stones have been on the so long. The Rolling Stones have been on the road so long that when they originally went on the road was the Appian Way. And I didn't have a leader to it because that's sort of a eclectic joke. That's a tag joke in my mind. But I needed the shot up front if I was going to continue the joke. And I just went over it. And when I came across the Rolling Stones, have you seen them lately? Trust me, they've gathered some moss. And I thought, I was so pleased with that. I know it might not be a big moment to you, but I had been toying with that. And only in the solitary thing of that limo where you have nothing else to think about can you afford time to pour over stuff like that. So you dig it, too. You like the limo.
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting to hear a guy like Paul say, because I think people think that about comedy. My friends always say, oh, it must be a blast in the back room with the other comic. I go, are you kidding me? You know, most of us are curled up in the fetal position. Nobody wants to talk to anybody, you know.
Yeah,
it's a certain breed that gets drawn into it.
You aren't kidding. We've got one of the rarer members of that breed, our good friend Carl Zahn, with us for the entire hour. We're taking your phone calls. Matt in Idaho, go ahead. You're on the Dennis Miller Carl Zahn Show.
I've got a question for you. It's kind of complicated, though. When you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, pretend you only got one.
Go slow, because this matters to me. And a lot of these calls, you know, sometimes you're just being nice. Other times you can't follow it because you're not smart enough. But now you're in my bailiwick, PB&J, so go slow here. I want to savor this.
Okay, you only have one knife, and you're really hungry. You need to eat quick.
Mm-hmm.
So do you put the peanut butter on first or the jelly on? And it's a two-part question. You got to tell me why after you give me your answer.
I put the peanut butter on because the peanut butter is the center of the food universe. The jelly, I'm not going to sit there and eat jelly bread. At that point, I'm a junkie in an apartment on the Upper West Side trying to get through the day to get my jag that night. I put the PB&J down because it's substantive, and it's one of the five basic food groups. Carl, do you like a nice creme de legume?
Oh, peanut butter and jelly. What could be better than that?
But what do you put on first? Answer the question.
Put the peanut butter on first if you're going to be like Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
The peanut butter's the sticky stuff. That holds everything else on.
Yeah, the jelly's really the Stephen Eady of the sandwich world. So
exactly.
You definitely don't worry about it. It's not why you're there.
Why, Matt? Do you think different? Are you a foreigner?
I was more literal about it, really. I thought, I don't want to get the jelly in the peanut butter because it goes back in the cupboard and it might go bad. But I don't know.
I keep my jelly as I get older in the fridge. Am I wrong there? Always in a shelf drawer, but I can't leave it out anymore because I went in there one time and there was something that would have made Louis Pasteur blanch on top of my strawberry jam. So I always keep that in the fridge. All I know is this, there's only one sacred thing in life, and that is the truism, you never buy the two already spun together. It is unholy! You ever see those PB&Js? Are they whipped? That's bad.
That reminds me of one of my favorite Brian Regan bits about peanut butter and jelly in a tube. And he goes, you know, when you don't have the time, hey, I can't be dirty on all kinds of knives, opening all kinds of jars.
Thank you, Rick, for the that was an interesting question. We appreciate it. Let's go to Rick in Annapolis, Maryland. Rick, how are you? One of the loveliest places in America. I love that town.
Well, howdy, Mr. Miller. How you doing today?
Beautiful.
Thinking, I got a question for you.
You know, when I think Annapolis, by the way, this is the voice I think.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hollywood always seems to have enough smarts to make remakes of existing movies these days. And I just wonder, why do you think they made a remake of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Because they did it perfectly, and it, like Casablanca, why would you want to go there again? Thank you, Rick, in Annapolis.
I bet Rick Sanchez has a different reason as to why they haven't remade Jesus Christ Superstar.
That is the man of, that man there is the head of St. Peck. Our fleet. Gabby O'Doulahan. Let's go to Rick in Minnesota. Rick, you're on the Gabby O'Doulahan show.
Hey, Gabby. Yeah, I have I have a mosquito suggestion for you.
I'm all ears.
Pulling from this week's headlines, mosquito should have a mistress, and she should be played by Ernest Borgnine.
What? No, I'm trying to see why would mosquito
playing miners mistress.
Oh, I see. I like where you're going here. I didn't see that at first. Can I tell you, it was the thank you, Rick. On around day 42 in the mine, the reek had become so bad, you could not get a skeeter to go in there. at that point, I said, listen, I'm a mosquito. I make my living sucking blood and cellulite out of other human beings. I'm not going in that cave, that being said, unless you send me down with a little, tiny little air wick dangling from my fly genitalia. Let's go to, wait a second. Heretic? Blasphemer! James in Alabama puts the jelly on first. What's happening down there?
What's up, babe?
Thank you for being me from 20 years ago.
Yeah, I put the jelly on first because it's easier and quicker to wipe off the knife or spoon that you're using to spread with to stick it back in the peanut butter.
What are you, a clean freak? Who wipes off anything in between? I take the knife and I wipe it along the sharp, reasonably sharp edge of the Jiffy container at top. But those two always work. They're Batman and Robin. They always intermingle. And I can go through a jar of peanut butter at approximately the same time I go through a thing of jam. So it's not like I have to keep it. Well, you're sterilizing instruments? What are you giving out? Manicures down there in Mobile? For God's sakes, you're making a PB&J.
You got your peanut butter knife in the autoclave?
Yeah. Oh, autoclave. Now that is a pro move there, huh? All right, you're on the Cooking Channel tonight. It's Cuisine with the Boy in the Bubble. We'll be right back after this on the Dennis Miller Show. The Four Freshmen. This was their wildest tune, The Four Freshmen. What's this one called? Oh, it says you got on a loop. You never do get to the lyric. Or do you? You never get to the lyric. Jesus. Being gaslit. Charles Boyer on the soundboard. This segment of the show is brought to you by Taxmasters. The IRS has stepped up their collections efforts. Now more than ever, you need Taxmasters. Solve your problems. I'm sorry, I just remembered Brian Regan. I can hear that. Solve your problem right now by calling 800-581-0452 or visit taxmaster.com. TXMSTR, no vowels. Just savings. My favorite comedian. It sounds like Carl Digson, too, but I remember the There was some payoff on the PB&J at a tube.
It was with the croutons. He said he got to the point where he didn't use bread anymore. He would throw a couple croutons in his mouth and squirt the peanut butter and jelly in his mouth. No dirty knives.
That is the best right there, folks. If you get a chance to see him, go see him. He's the state of the art right now. I'll be doing my little thing with the Wienerettes. Remember Mark Wiener used to do these puppet shows? I'll be opening for the Wienerettes tonight at the Borgata in Atlantic City. For tickets, go to theborgata.com, B-O-R-G-A-T-A. I'll also be filming my new HBO special. I think it's my 8th. Carlin's at 11. I don't think I'll ever see that, but Klein at 9, takeable. Being in the 2 spot all the time, that wouldn't be bad. Klein, we'll probably be doing it like Bobby Bowden and Joe Pa now, or we'll have to move us up into the booth into a hospital bed to try to get ahead of each other. I'll be shooting that November 6th and 7th at the Barclay Theater in Irvine, California. Tickets are on sale now at thebarclay.org. It's the next Mac and Hour. We have a question for our friend Carl Zahn, who's with us for the entire hour. This is from Mark in New Hampshire. Mark, go ahead.
Hello, Dennis. Hello, Carl.
Hey, Mark. How you doing, man?
Bad. I'm up here by the big lake, Winnipeg.
Nice, beautiful country.
It's Iroquois for I can't swim. Anyway,
you live near Ricky Lake, did you say?
The big lake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I misread the whole thing.
Carl, are you ready to admit on the air that I am your illegitimate son, conceived during a cold New Hampshire winter under a hug me?
Now listen, Mark. You called me on my way down here. I explicitly said we weren't going to go into this, and I thought you said the DNA testing was incomplete or inconclusive.
I'm looking for money. I just want a hug.
All right. I'll stop by Winnipesaukee on the way home. Okay?
All right, Marky. Thanks for the call here.
See, I always dread these New Hampshire calls. I didn't tell anybody I was coming this time.
Well, it had a nice Rowan and Martin look to it.
Mark's a good guy. He's on the boards a lot, isn't he, Mark?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he calls a funny good cat. Now, listen, Carl has a question for you, Christian.
What?
Listen, I didn't know Kwok Brothers was a public issue. I hope I'm grandfathered in on some of the original shares on this, but
absolutely.
Carl wants to get in. Carl?
Yeah, Christian, I heard you talking a couple of weeks ago about having taken all your pay from Kwok Brothers in Kwok stock, and I'm looking for investment opportunities. I did want to mention, though, I had a bad experience with Kwok stock in a Chinese prison in the late 70s. I did a short stint there.
We remember. You don't have to tell us. And
all I can say is just ask Martha Stewart how Kwok stock goes, and you're probably going to want to not get into it. That's all I can say by law.
And by the way, the conversion rate on a sexual favor to Kwok stock in a Chinese prison, currently at $17 billion for a warm breath in the ear. Let's go to Paul in Chicago. Paul, how are you?
Jumbo. How you doing, Dennis?
Jumbo, jumbo means hello in a funny sort of an African way. What's up, Paul?
Not much. Real quick, why do you think there's so many UFO sightings around the world? Why are they landing or flying over China? I know there was some...
LASIK surgery. I think they've always been there. We just weren't able to see them. LASIK surgery. That's why you see many more.
And I got a great Democrat joke if you want to hear it. It's clean.
Go ahead, baby.
Real quick. Joe Biden's jogging through the park. He sees a boy with a cardboard box. He jogs over to see what he's got in the box. The kid says, I got brand new puppies. He goes, did you name them yet? He goes, yeah, I call them Democrats. Oh, that's cool. A couple days later, Obama and Biden are jogging in the same park. He sees the same kid. He figures they'll jog over there and show Obama what's up over there. And he goes, hey, what do you got in the box? He goes, hey, I've got brand new puppies in the box. He goes, oh, did you name them yet? He goes, yeah, I call them Republicans. He goes, wait, a couple days ago you said you called them Democrats. He goes, well, yeah, they got their eyes open now.
I like that, Paul.
Oh,
good
God.
One.
Right? Biden.
Very infrequently you see the puppy
Biden,
in the box in
the
park.
Biden, the dog that keeps coming back with porcupine quills. You know, I love him, but we're going to have to put him down eventually.
Yeah, I can't tell. Periodically, Biden says something so candid, I can't tell if I actually like him or he's just gone full bore crazy. I mean, you know, but he will periodically, if you cut through the chafe, folks, there will be a nice wheat there periodically where he'll just say Biden something so accurate and so you know the White House doesn't want him to say that you got to give him credit. So I must say he's growing on me over the years. My favorite day each year is on Ash Wednesday when Biden shows up with the ashes on the forehead and you're thinking he must be Catholic, but he isn't. He had to have it written into his rider before Obama offered him the job that if they called a hastily called press conference, Barack was able to put his smoke out right on Biden's forehead as he went to the stage. That's part of the turf, unfortunately, but you got to do it. 866-509-RANT. Back after this with Carl Zahn. This is Dennis X. Mackin on the Dennis Miller Show.
troubles, come on, get happy.
I got no troubles,
Jay. You better chase all your cares away.
Life is good.
Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy.
Hallelujah.
Get ready for the judgment day.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout
what a supernatural talent she was. One of the 10 greatest performers who's ever lived in the arts. And she paid a price for it. Not often the case. 866-509-RAM, taking your phone calls. Carl's on with us for the entire hour. Imagine Judy Garland resurrecting the Broadway scene today. Some desultory musicals out there. And I think it's even worse over in Europe right now, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah, did you hear about this one, Hope, the musical?
About
Hope? Yeah, it's a big thing all about Obama, and they dance around celebrating Obama. I've been working on a couple shows over here myself. Okay. Foreclosure, the opera. Unemployed River Dance. You looking for that soon?
It ain't over till the fat lady balks at her monthly payment.
That's right.
Let's go to John in New Hampshire. Once again, heretical, a theory on why the jelly goes on first. John?
Come to me, baby. Let me clear your fears.
I'm here.
Yeah, I wanted to get in on the peanut butter and jelly. I am a chef by trade, no autoclave necessary, but I do agree with the jelly first, because you can lick the jelly off the knife before sticking it in the peanut butter. It is much harder to lick the peanut butter off the knife before the jelly.
But grant me this, according to the, well, I guess it was developed around 10 years ago in reaction to the Heimlich maneuver, the Lewinsky-Indian maneuver allows one to get even peanut butter off a knife, doesn't it?
It's not a cigar or a trailer hitch.
It all depends.
Oh, Johnny came to play.
Nice.
Thank you,
John. It depends if you like an easy lick or a challenging lick.
Hey, let's back off that. Jeez, that gave me the... I have hives. Jimmy in Indianapolis. Jim, how are you?
I got a couple of new additions to your Mansquito.
Well, you got time for one. Kick out the best one. We got 30 seconds.
Bill Maher is the thorn in Mansquito's side, known as the non-praying mantis.
That's funny, Jimbo. You picked the right one. 866-5. Oh, we're up against it. Carl, thanks for joining us for the entire hour. I'm off to do the Borgata in Atlantic City tonight, folks. Borgata.com. Come down and give me a tumble. Next week, Patty Heaton, Ed Burns, Steve Martin. Thank you, Carl.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to see you.
All right, man.
Back next week.
Closing time. The Dennis Miller Show on Westwood One.